Where does the money go? What happens to all that brass? Never have got enough, always feeling short of the cash. Prices are so darn high, we really need twice as much. All of those bills to pay, I wish I could find the Midas touch. I think of the good times when things were all right for me. Always had enough bread to be well fed. I was rolling free. Where does the money go? Just melts away like snow. It's not funny, but mustn't get glummy. I'll just keep on hoping the fates will bring me lots of sweet money.
Is this your song for the new year? Oh, I hope not. Hello, friends. Welcome to In the Market. I am your host, Janet Parshall. And if that doesn't give away a hint, a big hint of what our topic is this hour, I don't know what will. I know. Be it resolved. Have you said that? Did you say that more than once already in this brand new year? Have you resolved to live within your budget? Perhaps just to even set a budget. I was having a conversation with my daughter just today, and she said, Mom, my hubby and I have decided that this year we're going to live within our budget. Made me feel good. It meant presumably they had a budget. That's a good start. And then she said, we're going to work to pay off our car. We're going to get our credit card taken care of. We are going to live this year debt-free. Yes, check your calendars. May that be so 1 month from now. But I think that for a lot of people is their resolve. That's what they really want to do. And then, as my mom used to say when she quoted a great poet, life is real, life is earnest. And those good intentions start paving the road to, well, you know where. So we've asked America's cheapest family to help us out. I am so glad that we get to visit with the economy this on a regular basis. Every time they come, the phones just light up because you and I have never heard such practical, commonsensical advice. And you know what? They come not only with pathos, understanding our situation, but ethos. They've done it. They've raised 5 children. They paid off their first home in 9 years. And guess what? They didn't have a gazillion dollars. They had an income of $35,000. And these are people who, drumroll please, pay cash. Cash. I know it's an odd word in this day and age of ATM cards. Cash for their cards. And they don't ever use a credit card. So if that weren't enough to tell you who they are, they've also written some fabulous books. America's Cheapest Family gets you right on the money, and their most recent, Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half. And boy, you loved both of those conversations. Let me give you the number, because you're going to want to ask them a question or two as we set our budgets and we have a fresh start and a new beginning on this brand new year when it comes to our finances. 1-877-LIVE-675, 1-877-548-3675. Or if it's easier, send me an email, janetparshall@moody.edu, janetparshall@moody.edu. Steve and Annette, I know you could be anywhere, and I just want you to know from the bottom of my heart how much I appreciate your giving of your time for us on radio today. Happy New Year to you both. My sleeves are rolled up. My notepad and pencil are in front of me. I can't wait to get some good tips.
Hey, Janet, how are you?
It's going to be a great year this year.
Steve, what a great opening salvo. May I linger there for a moment? What makes you think so?
Well, because when times are tough, if people will take the initiative to really start paying attention to the little things, they can make a huge impact on their financial situation and their family.
And Janet, I really think right now, with the economy the way it is and unemployment the way it is, I think people are for the first time looking around and saying, is there a different way? Is there a better way to live right now?
And that, I think you're absolutely right. And I'll tell you what else, too, and maybe it's a more transcendent sense that's in the culture. But I'm beginning to think that a lot of people are saying, given the tough economic times, do I really need that? More stuff in my garage, more stuff in my kitchen, more stuff in my closet doesn't necessarily make me a happier person. So maybe there's a kind of personal inventory going on in the lives of a lot of people. I know it has been for my husband and me to say, really? I mean, you're not taking this stuff to glory with you, so why do you keep packing it in now?
Exactly.
We're getting down to what really matters. And what we're finding is it's not the bigger house, it's not more cars, it's not more toys. It's really the relationships we have. It's being able to take and have a little surplus to be able to help someone else out. And those are the things I think that are going to really come home to roost and benefit not only the families but the kingdom.
It really is our family and our friends. And it's not just living for today. It's realizing that when you have a balance in your checkbook, that is for the auto insurance 6 months from now, or the holiday gifts, or the school clothes, or a medical emergency. We just can't live anymore for just today. It just doesn't work.
You know, both you and Steve have said something that I've never heard anybody else say before. I just truly love you as a brother and sister in the Lord, and I love the commonsensical conversation you always bring. But you are rare in that you always talk about getting out from under a pile of debt and being good stewards with the money that the Lord has blessed us with. Not for self, but both you, Steve, and you, Annette, time and time and time again, have talked about how getting the bondage of debt off our back frees us for ministry and for service to the kingdom. That's a radically different way to look at, boy, I'm going to feel better. It's all about me. I will have a better FICO rating. But you don't say that. You flip it around completely and say getting under the weight of debt gives you the liberty and the freedom to be able to serve at your highest.
Because we had no debt. And you're right. That's absolutely right. Because we had no debt, we were able to start our own business. And we didn't have a lot of money, but we had enough where we knew we could cut our budget down and live on what we had. And it gave us the freedom. We know a missionary couple that was going to our church that couldn't go to the mission field because they had tons of student loans and tons of debt. And it took them about 3 years to get that sorted out and paid down to the point where the mission board finally allowed them to go. So you're free to follow where God leads you.
But Janet, I also think the American family has just gotten so caught up in the culture, like you said earlier, of materialism, of more stuff, fancier stuff, convenient stuff, that we're really just neglecting our families.
Yeah, I think you're right. Again, I'm so glad both of you take that approach because, Stephen, I'm going to pick up on the idea of the family in your church. Is debt keeping us from stepping into the mission field that the Lord has prepared for us? It might be your neighbor next door. It might be an expansion of what you're already doing. But is debt being used as a stumbling block to full-time service for him in whatever he calls you to do? Let me take a break. No surprise. Bunch of people already online. 1-877-LIVE-675. 1-877-548-3675. They are and proud of it. America's cheapest family. More with Stephen and Annette Economy Days right after this.
I'm only $7.50 once a week. That's my allowance. $7.50 once a week. I balanced my budget.
Have you checked your shoes today? Hi, I'm Mark Early, and this is The Point. In Argentina, Spain, and some other Spanish-speaking countries, today is Three Wise Men's Day. Children celebrate by leaving their shoes outside overnight, during which time the three magi fill the shoes with gifts. Sometimes the children even leave straw in their shoes for the wise men's camels. The holiday celebrates the wise men's journey to bring gifts to the baby Jesus. What about the gifts that you bring to Jesus today? When you look at the incredible things God has given you, it seems impossible that you could ever repay him. But the good news is he doesn't expect any type of repayment. He gives to us freely. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Today, bring Jesus the gift of you. You, fully committed to follow him. I'm Mark Early, and that's The Point.
Here's Pastor Colin Smith with today's key for unlocking the Bible.
A leper once came to Jesus and said, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." He knows Christ has the ability to do this, but does he have the will? Would Christ be interested in doing something in his life? So he comes to Jesus and he begs, on his knees. This man isn't trying to negotiate. He's not saying, "Jesus, you owe me. I've lived a good life. Why did you let this happen to me?" Some people are always asking, "Why should I be interested in Christ?" But this man sees the real question is, "Why should Christ be interested in me?" Becoming a Christian is not about you doing something great for Christ. It's about Christ doing something great for you. So come to Jesus empty-handed. Ask him to give you what you do not have. Then you'll be in a position to receive.
If you'd like to hear more, visit our website, unlockingthebible.org.
One one penny, two pennies, three pennies, four pennies, five pennies make a...
nickel.
6 pennies, 7 pennies, 8 pennies, 9 pennies, 10 pennies make a...
dime.
2 dimes and a nickel make a...
quarter.
And 4 quarters make a...
dollar.
And a dollar is 100 cents each time.
Let's go faster!
You might think that's pretty basic, but I thought as we get started here in our conversation with the economy this week, just review some simple financial math. This is In the Market. I am your host, Janet Parshall-Steven, and at Economy This are with us. They are America's cheapest family. By the way, I have been noodling around most of the afternoon on their website. I just love what they have posted there, including the fact that if you all have a tip for saving money, you can send it to them by way of their website. Just fabulous. All right, lots and lots of people online. 1-877-LIVE-675. We welcome Lynn as our first caller from Columbus, Ohio. Lynn, thank you for being here, and please ask your question.
Yes, my question regards to student loans. My student loan has made me a poverty professional because of the high payment on my student loan. I've been forced to live near Section 8 housing. A couple years ago, my spouse left me, and my Section 8 neighbors were laughing their heads off that I worked a job and had a master's degree and was put basically on the street. My student loan in another year goes up to like $1,200 a month payments. I teach in the inner city. It's a very difficult job. I love it, but I'd be being childless and not ever being able to own a home or a decent car has been very devastating to my life. And even after you get your master's degree, the state requires you to continue to go to college, and it's thousands and thousands and thousands of more dollars you have to spend. It used to be every 8 years, and now it's every 4. And I'm just really frustrated with having to live in debt, and it's just crazy, and I'm just at the point, I'm just too old, I can't work 2 and 3 jobs anymore, I just can't do it, I'm 50.
Lynn, I hear your pain, and I've got a couple of thoughts for you. One is, if you've got a master's degree, which I think you said, then I know you may feel committed to the inner cities right now, but you may need to go to a community college and be a teacher at a community college, and I think that's all that's required, and you may actually earn more money. And you may not have to stay there forever, but you may need to do it for a little while so you can get this debt paid off. Also, I think, you know, you talked about your housing situation, but maybe it may need to even be more drastic than that, and you may need to be renting a room from somebody, living with a family and renting a room.
When we make a commitment to live within our means, and you start to see the blessing as you start to do things God's way, there'll be an enthusiasm and a freedom that you'll experience that'll make the sacrifice worth it. But we're not saying never. You'll never own a house. You'll never have a car, that kind of stuff. What we're saying is for right now, it seems like the reaping of the payments and it's not all your decisions. We understand that your husband left, and that is a terrible,
devastating
thing to have happen. But you got to work with where God has you, and He's got a portion for you, and He loves you desperately.
And Lynn, you're going to make it. You are going to make it. You may just need to think outside the box right now.
But the one key I think Annette is making is you've got the education, you've got the ability. Is it possible that God could use you in a different place where He would allow you to meet your obligations? Because He is not the kind of God who says, "Yeah, it's okay to make a commitment and not pay it." As a matter of fact, He says the wicked do that. You've made a commitment. He wants you to keep your commitments. He wants you to keep your commitment to Him and to the creditors.
And don't give a rip about what other people say. We aren't living for other people.
Yeah. In fact, you know, it's funny. It isn't a matter of what other people say. It's a matter of what the Lord says. And Steve, you referenced the fact that Scripture talks about the behavior when it comes to choices about money of the wicked. Aren't you glad that God knew that we would, in fact, have a problem in this particular area? I mean, what's one of the standout stories in the New Testament is Jesus's encounter with not just the young ruler, but the rich young ruler. So I don't know about you, but I take comfort in knowing that God knew that this was going to be a struggle, that it could be a God, it could become an obsession,
yes.
It could become all consuming, that it was going to be a real choice in our hearts to have to say there is only one Lord in my life, and it's He and He alone, and not dollars and cents.
Right.
I want to add one more thing to Lynn, Janet. And that is, every time we've seen a family who's made a commitment to do things God's way with their finances, God has blessed in amazing ways. And there have been what we call in our first book, we call them dumps of money.
Windfalls.
Hundreds, no, not hundreds of thousands, but 10, 15, 20, sometimes $50,000 dumped on them at a time when they desperately needed it. And it came as a result of them saying, "God, I'm going to do it your way. I don't care what it cost me. I'm going to do it your way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And on that note, Steve, I don't know how long you've been hearing these stories, but I've been hearing them since I was knee high to a grasshopper. And I never grow weary of hearing how God supplies all of our needs. Mm-hmm. And there's no other way to describe those kinds of beautiful moments of supplied grace other than his love toward us. When you think there's no possibility here, and God goes, but I'm God. You're not. Watch what I can do. And he supplies and supplies exceedingly abundantly, far above that which we ask to pray for.
We have to make a choice, though, Janet. And the choice is, are we going to run to God or are we going to run to the bank?
Excellent point, Steve. Excellent point. 1-877-LIVE-675. Darlene's in Indianapolis. Darlene, I thank you so for joining in our conversation with the economy. This is your question, please.
Yes. We're going to clean out some closets and stuff at home and get rid of some things. We live in a rural area, so it's not really good to have a yard sale out there because you don't get anybody coming. My question is, would it be better to find a place in town to have a garage sale or just donate the items to charity and use it for a tax deduction?
Darlene, that's a good question, and I have a question back for you. Do you guys have a lot of debt that you're trying to pay off?
Well, no. Fortunately, and this is kind of a testimony, we have been actually tithing and giving money to a mission in Israel, and God has blessed us so much. We've paid off a lot of our debt. We do still have some debt, but it's not a lot.
Well, one of the reasons I ask that is that one of our first rules in paying off debt is to take what you have. It's kind of like the widow with the oil. The prophet asked her, what do you have in the house? And his instruction was to take what she had and liquidate it.
Which were the jars.
Right, the jars, and then the oil came. So that's why I asked that question. Take the things that you have and sell them. If you don't need the money, then I would donate them to any type of charity that's in your area. Or possibly sell some things on eBay or Craigslist.
Sell some things online. The other thing, too, is I don't know if there's consignment stores in your nearest city, but then you can turn that into cash. And if you want to donate that to charity, you can. The other thing is to maybe get together with several families in your church and have a garage sale and take the proceeds and donate it to a missionary. And you might be able to find somebody with a house in a more urban, suburban type setting where you can bring all the stuff.
Excellent. Darlene, thank you so. I appreciate your being a part of our conversation. 1-877-LIVE-675, 1-877-548-3675. I want to bring Shireen into this discussion. Shireen is in Palm Beach, Florida. Shireen, I thank you so for calling in today, and I'd love to know what's going on in your life.
I was listening to that, to your caller, and that relates so much to me. I've gone through a 4-year separation, couldn't function in a job, basically penniless, houses on the brink of foreclosure. Basically, I have literally came to Christ within those four years, and I knew that I either had a choice to go bankrupt or to really, apply God's, work in His will and let it be different. And so, He gave me the strength that I got back into the workforce, crowded with debt, he had an establishment for me. I established things with these creditors. They worked with me. Finally, I got back my home, and with $100, I launched a linen business, manufacturing business. Now, it's a corporation. To that speaker, they can do it if they put God first. And as your speaker said, we have to do our will. God has a bigger plan for all of us. And, if we can just trust Him, it can literally happen.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Good word, Shireen. It's true. It's true. I love this because in the end, it isn't about finances. It's about faith. Either we trust Him completely or we decide to tell the Lord we'll try to work it out by ourselves. Steve, you said it beautifully. I hope people don't ever forget that. Either run to Him or you run to the bank. Let me take a break. Lots of people online. This is America's cheapest family. It is Steve and Annette Economy Days. More after this.
2 pennies, 3 pennies, 4 pennies, 5 pennies make up.
Nickel.
6 pennies, 7 pennies, 8 pennies, 9 pennies, 10 pennies make up.
Dime.
2 dimes and nickel make up.
Quarter.
And 4 quarters make up.
Dollar.
And a dollar is 100 cents each time.
Faster.
1 penny, 2 pennies, 3 pennies, 4 pennies, 5 pennies make up.
Nickel.
6 pennies, 7 pennies, 8 pennies, 9 pennies, 10 pennies make up.
Dime.
2 dimes and nickel make up.
Quarter.
And 4 quarters make up.
Dollar.
And a dollar is 100 cents each time. A dollar is 100 cents each time.
I'm Ruth Kramer with Mission Network News. Governments in at least seven countries have boosted security during Christmas. Many churches have either been threatened or attacked. It's a strategic time for an extremist to be heard, so says Voice of the Martyrs Todd Nettleton. He adds that as the family of God, those who aren't living through persecution still have a responsibility. We need to act.
Pray that our Christian brothers and sisters won't be intimidated by these kinds of threats. Our job is to serve the Lord and to do the things we're called to do. And whatever the threats may be, we still have that call to follow Christ.
Meanwhile, for the first time this year, the Lugulu people of central Tanzania can read the Christmas story in their native language. The seed company's Steve Salowitz says they now have the Gospels Mark, Luke, and John in print.
This is the first time that they will have, especially Luke, in their language. They'll be reading the shepherd story and some of the congregations during Christmas season.
Over 800,000 Lugulu live in very rugged mountainous areas. Newly translated books of the Bible come in small booklets, which circulate quickly throughout the community and its churches. Pray that the scriptures will bring freedom and help them share the gospel with their neighbors. And every year since at least 1954, international students gather in the Rocky Mountains and Michigan's Upper Peninsula to experience an American winter and to learn more about Christianity. InterVarsity Christian Fellowship says more and more students are freely asking questions about Jesus. Since it's difficult for them to go home for Christmas, they enjoy a chance to relax and discuss the claims of the Bible. So pray that many hearts will open to the gospel. Mission Network News, a service of Cornerstone University of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Find out about the plight of the Karen people of Burma through an incredible DVD documentary and prayer guide exclusively from Vision Beyond Borders. Get your free DVD and prayer guide by calling 1-800-995-4828, or you can click on the link at missionnetworknews.org. That's missionnetworknews.org. I'm Ruth Kramer.
What are you going to do with your sin, my friend? Or do you even know what sin is? You better have the right perspective on it. It could cost you your life. Ah, you say people have different opinions about it. You're right, but God doesn't. However, our opinions don't keep us from its judgments. The Bible is God's Word. How does God define sin? He informs us in Romans that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The word sin means to miss the mark, to fall short of God's standard. God tells us whatever is not of faith is sin. Faith is taking God at His Word. You sin when you don't believe God and when you don't believe in Jesus Christ. Sin is when you know to do good and you don't do it. Sin is transgression of the law. It's to cross over the line drawn by God. If you don't know the line, it's in God's Word. This is Kay Arthur with Precepts from God's Word.
Money, 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 I want some.
I want some money.
Money, 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 counting money is fun.
Got to have some money.
Money, 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 I want some.
Give me some money.
Money, 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 counting money is fun.
We are talking about money, and let's hope this doesn't become the national anthem. This is about being good stewards, because, you know, here's a news flash. You're probably not going to read this in the Wall Street Journal today. That stuff called money, you don't own it. I don't own it. We are in a stewardship position, a management position. We don't own it. Every good and perfect gift is from above, including those financial blessings that He gives us as well. And He does want us to look well to the ways of our household when it comes to our finances. Stephen and Annette Economy, they know that. They are America's cheapest family. I'm telling you, I love my conversations with them because they're not just conversations. I take copious notes. And I, in our household, love to put into practice many of the things that they share with us. In the market with JanetParshall.org is our website. We make it easy for you. When you get there, you're going to be able to click on through to their website, which is just chock full of good stuff. And on the right hand side, as always, that's where you're going to see our resources. America's Cheapest Family was their first book. Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half is their second book. Fabulous. I recommend both of them to you. 1-877-LIVE-675, 1-877-548-3675. Dennis, you are in Cleveland, Ohio, and you want to make a comment to Lynn, who was our first caller. So please go ahead.
Yeah, I was a single man a number of years ago. And while living in Minneapolis and in Chicago and in Florida, I made up my mind that I wanted to save some money, so I contacted the church or looked in a local paper for widows primarily who needed help around the house but also offered a sleeping room. And it was a great opportunity to minister to those widows as well as help around the house, whether that was doing yard work or whatever it was. And it was a real blessing. It certainly encouraged that caller to pursue that. That was a great idea.
Good. Great. Thank you. Thank you, Dennis.
You're using creativity and you're using resources and you're allowing the body to minister. And the awesome thing about that is when we have a need and we don't rely on credit to solve it, but we rely on the body, it makes the body stronger.
And I really do think, Janet, I really do think America became great because neighbors helped each other.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the body or not, we all helped.
Yeah, I could not agree with you more. And I like what Steve and both you, Annette, were talking about when it comes to body life. You know, we're supposed to, the scripture says, bear one another's burdens, and we're supposed to practice encouragement. So the directive, I mean, the book of Ephesians is all about that intersection of the body life. So there are some wonderful opportunities there. And maybe, Steve, some of the reticence is, you know, when we go to Sunday school, we think we have to have it all together, right? Perfect kids, perfect marriage, perfect bank account. Dare to ask somebody for help? Oh, no. Can you speak to that for a second? How dare we be transparent?
The church is a hospital. And some of us are in the intensive care unit and we are in need of care. Some of us have recovered a little bit and can help out, but we still have some healing to do. There are so many gifts in the body, and to short circuit the gifting by not asking, by not helping, It makes our body weaker.
And Janet, I really do think that God sometimes can work through unbelievers. So there could be a very moral, very decent family out there that could help somebody, but they don't know Christ, and we can be the light that shines. Janet, there's one other thing I want to talk about before we take our next call. I really wanted to get to, because we're talking about budgeting today, I wanted to talk about the three common excuses that people give for not budgeting. Is that okay?
Oh, please. In fact, I have my pen ready.
And the reason we're doing this is because the budget is so, so critical.
Okay, let me give them real quick. The first one is I don't have enough money. The second one is I live on commission and my income fluctuates all the time. I couldn't possibly live on a budget. And the third one is, oh, man, a budget is too tedious. You aren't going to give me Jack and Jane's budget and expect it to work for me.
But the budget is the most powerful tool we've ever used in our finances, and that's what's helped us accomplish what we've accomplished.
Let's talk about
you
that
two
when
are,
we come back. Yeah,
absolutely. You are communication pros. I want to be able to flesh this out a little bit. So you got the Cliff's Notes on that, friend. So we get back, we're going to flesh out those three excuses, and maybe you've uttered one of them, on why you haven't put a budget together. It's the Economy Days this hour here on In the Market. More with them right after this.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Stuart Shepard. New Mexico's Attorney General has opened the door for same-sex marriages to be recognized in the state. Audrey Bright says one state senator wants to keep that from happening.
New Mexico state law does not define marriages between a man and a woman, but State Senator William Scherer says it does use the terms bride and groom.
The previous Attorney General, Patricia Madrid, took that and said, well, gosh, bride and groom means man and woman, therefore marriage must be between a man and a woman.
But not the current Attorney General, Gary King. He issued an opinion saying out-of-state same-sex marriages would likely be valid in New Mexico. Scherer says King is turning a blind eye to the family structure that's best for society.
If you're going to give your child the best chance of success in life, biological married mother and father is the best place to raise them.
He plans on introducing an amendment defining marriage as the union of one man and one woman. I'm Audrey Bray.
She used to run an abortion clinic. Now she's telling everyone how God changed her life. Abby Johnson watched an abortion on ultrasound, and that was it.
I was there for 8 years. There are many people that believed I was going to be a lifetime employee at Planned Parenthood.
Now a pro-lifer, she says it makes a difference when people pray outside the clinic.
And every time you are out there, you are pricking their conscience.
Johnson's new book, Unplanned, shares her view from inside and outside the Bryan, Texas abortion clinic. Incoming Rhode Island Governor Lincoln Chafee is pushing for a law allowing same-sex marriage. In his inaugural speech, he said,
and I would hope that Rhode Island will catch up to her New England neighbors and pass a bill to establish marriage equality.
Of course, marriage equality really means redefining marriage. Although both chambers are controlled in the state legislature by Democrats, it's still expected to be quite a battle. Family News in Focus is a production of Focus on the Family. I'm Stuart Shepard.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. An FBI spokesman says a package at a state building in Baltimore is being investigated. It's not clear if the Baltimore package is related to the two packages that emitted a flash and smoke when opened earlier today at two Maryland state buildings in Annapolis and Hanover. Two workers suffered minor burns to their fingers. He has a long record of experience in government and the business community, and now William Daley will serve as President Obama's chief of staff. Daley was Commerce Secretary in the Clinton administration and ran Al Gore's 2000 presidential campaign. Stocks have finished mostly lower after the government reported an increase in applications for unemployment benefits last week. The report came a day after ADP estimated that companies added nearly 300,000 jobs last month. That report had pushed stocks higher. The Dow fell 26 points today to close at 11,697. More details at srnnews.com.
Money makes the world go round, the world go round, the world go round. Money makes the world go round, it makes the world go round.
This is In the Market, and I am your host, Janet Parshall. Stephen and Ed Economy, they are with us this hour, answering your questions about finances. They are America's cheapest family. And just before the break, Annette talked about the three excuses that we have that we don't put a budget together. Not enough money, our income fluctuates, you get a commission, or it's just too tedious. So, Annette, let me go back to you, if I can, please, and talk a little bit about, all right, a lot of people would say, yeah, that's perfectly reasonable, perfectly logical, and perfectly rational to have those kinds of justifications. How do you unpack them?
I say not. and basically, we'll go through them. We'll bounce back and forth and go through them. But not enough money, there is no such thing. Because really what it comes down to is priorities. And when money is tight, when you're struggling financially, you still have to look at all the different expenditures in your life. And you need to say, what are the priorities? For example, we have an account in our budget system called Joy, and those are for the extracurricular activities like music lessons and sports and scouts and things like that. And we had decided long ago that if ever money was tight, the Joy account disappeared. I mean, if ever our income changed.
Mm-hmm. And the first accounts, you know, I know this may kind of fly in the face of some Christian beliefs, but our first account is not giving. And I know that that's a little different, but my job as a husband is to provide for my family. And if I give to church, but I can't provide food and shelter and clothing, then I have failed.
Now, the clothing's not so much
of
an issue.
The clothing is not the highest
because
priority.
Because most of the closets of America today, people could live off of for 10 years.
But the point is,
we'll talk about that later.
We make sure that we set those priorities. And if money is tight, and we have lived on a fluctuating income, we can cut things off the back end of our budget and still meet. Now, we really got to define what a budget is. And in our case, a budget is setting a predetermined amount of money for about 21 categories. And we outline this in our first book, America's Cheapest Family Gets You Right on the Money. And it basically says every month, every paycheck, twice a month, we put in half the amount into each account. And we have the money there before we spend it. So if we want to go out to dinner, we look at our recreation account. And if we have $15 in there, then we aren't going to go out to a sit-down white tablecloth restaurant. We're going to go out to Arby's or some other place that's
Chinese
a little less expensive.
Or a Chinese buffet or something like that.
And the limits give you the freedom to know that all your other expenses are met and you can still spend the money that you want.
But some of the first accounts in our budget are the mortgage, the property taxes, food, utilities. Let me think.
And then we go to giving.
And then after that, medical and on from there. Recreation, clothing, because those are not essential for life. But
all right. So then what do you do if you're on commission and you don't have a consistent paycheck every month where you can say, we get X amount of dollars, this is how we'll distribute?
That's a great question. And what we did in our budget is we basically do a draw against we take a whenever we get a commission or a book advance or something like that, we put it into an account, a holding account, and then we draw down on that a little bit at a time each month. And the purpose of that is we've honed our budget over 28 years. Holy cow.
Yeah. Soon to be 29
yeah.
here.
We've honed
better
it.
Better so add to that joy account right now.
So we know what our budget is, and it a monthly budget, and so we can draw down a little bit at a time. And we don't, when we get a big payment in, we don't sit there and go, oh, boy, look at all that money. Now it's time to go party because we know we need to live on that for a while. So we meet it out a little bit at a time.
So, Jana, how many people were in the real estate market and the mortgage industry and they were living high 5 years ago? Boy, they were on top of the world, spending money up the wazoo. And now they are their homes are in foreclosure. So that's the kind of thing where we say, hey, look, if a windfall comes in, and we talk about that in the savings chapter of our first book, if a windfall comes in, have a plan so that it's not an emotional tug of war between husband and wife. It's already predetermined. If we ever get a, you know, a chunk of money, this is how we're going to distribute it. And I just want to let your listeners know, we do have a special offer on our website at americascheapestfamily.com for autographed books from us. And it's only for a limited time, but we do have it up right now.
Okay, good. Now, let me ask, if I can, a question for Pam, who's emailed us from the Virgin Islands. And Pam caught what I said in the intro, where you do not use credit cards. So she said she just bought an airline ticket and used plastic because I don't have any idea how to do that without using a credit card. Can you tell me?
Sure. Yeah,
what we use are debit cards. And we every expense that we incur on the debit card gets written into the checkbook as if it were a check. And then it comes out of a specific account. Like, for instance, if we take a vacation, it comes out of our vacation account. Every the hotels we stay at or the cars we rent and stuff like that, that's all paid for with money we've saved in advance. But you can also get points with your credit cards – with your debit cards, I'm sorry. And so we actually are in Chicago today visiting my dad, and we flew here with an airline ticket that we got with points used from our debit card.
And actually, Pam is right. I mean, it used to be that you couldn't get airline tickets or rental cars without a credit card, but that has all changed.
And that was going to be my follow-up question, Annette. So, in other words, have you ever experienced, with the use of the AT card, any merchant who rejects it because it's not a quote-unquote credit card?
There were many years ago when we did travel arrangements, there were some rental car companies that absolutely refused to take a debit card, but we found one that would, and that's the company we use.
And now most of them do. They'll put a hold on your account for about $200 or $300. But I'll promise your listeners, if they do the budget that we outline in our book, they will have so much money in the bank, they won't have to worry about a hold of $200, and they'll never bounce a check.
Mm, good. There you go, Pam. Thanks so much for sending that email in, and travel safe. 1-877-LIVE-675, 1-877-548-3675. Kristen, you've been so patient in Oaklawn, Illinois. I thank you for that. And your question now, please.
Hi. I just heard that you guys are in Chicago today, Stephen and Annette. So welcome to the Windy City.
It's Thank cold.
it is cold. Oakland is a suburb. We're close by you. So welcome. But I have a couple more questions, too, after listening for a while. But my main issue and question is I have a husband who he has a small carpentry business. He works very, very hard, and he's fantastic at what he does, except for running the business. He is not good at keeping appointments on time, at keeping his employees in line. He's not good at organizational things at all. I have a full-time, very demanding job. It takes a lot of energy out of me. We have a 3-year-old daughter. And I find that my job, when I get home in the evenings, I'm so exhausted. I have no time to put towards my husband's business. I have very little time to put towards my family and time with my daughter. And it's really wearing on me. I have health issues in addition to this. So my job provides not so much money, but health insurance. I have been toying with the idea of putting my faith into Jesus and saying, you know, something will happen with health insurance. My medical problems will be covered. I've been toying with the idea of leaving my job and devoting my time back to my family and my husband's business. I'm trying to build that business and live like that. Now, and it's funny that you mentioned real estate. I sold real estate for a number of years before I became sick, and my house was foreclosed on as well. So you're absolutely right about the commission and the budget, so
Kristen,
I can identify with that.
Let's not bash your husband, but if he is not gifted in administrating a business, then he really shouldn't be running a business. But I bet he can learn. And so what we have is we have an advisory board of people that we meet with not too often.
A couple of times a year.
And we take their advice. We lay out our situation, and they hold us accountable to doing what we said we're going to do. And it works for a small business. But he also probably needs a mentor. And he sounds like he's a creative type, but he needs to get a little more left brain training on how to manage a business. And managing a business and being a Christian are synonymous.
Well,
in other words, you have to do what you say you're going to do. Your yes has to be yes. Your no has to be no. And when you say you're going to show up, you got to show up. So I don't think you're at a point right now where you should stop working. But I think you need to set in place those things so that you can get to that area.
I have so many thoughts racing around my head, Kristen. One is he could, if he's a gifted carpenter, he could work for somebody else. The other thought is, if you need medical insurance, just quitting your job cold turkey, you don't want to be at the mercy of a hospital if a medical insurance occurs. Mm-hmm. And so maybe you need to, if you want to put more into your husband's business and more into your child, maybe you quit your high-paying job, but you go work at Starbucks for 20 hours a week so you can have phenomenal medical insurance. Or I know Barnes & Noble, you have to work there for a year and then you can get phenomenal medical insurance. Something like that, so you're not as taxed and you can help your husband.
And you can work on your own health
There's
issues.
Also the Small Business Association where they have mentors. Remember that one?
It's called SCORE. It's the Society of Retired
Businessmen
or something like that. And there are lots of opportunities, but your husband has to be willing to get some input. And if you're not, like I said, you've got to run a business that honors God, and showing up and keeping your commitments is what honors God. The other way doesn't.
Mm. Kristen, thank you very, very much for being with us again. In the Market with JanetParshall.org. We make it easy. The website's got the same name as the program. And then you don't have to worry about writing down all the names of the websites of all of our guests. So In the Market with JanetParshall.org. You can see the smiling faces of Annette and Steve Economy Days right there. You can learn more about them. Click on their website. Go to their website. Look at the right-hand side. And there's their two books that they've authored that'll help you look well to the ways of your household. Let me take a break. Lots of people are online. I'm so glad that Steve and Annette come on a regular basis, because I got more calls than I got time, but we'll get as many as we can right after this.
Hi, I'm Crawford LaRitz with a Legacy Moment. So much of what I've learned about parenting, I've picked up from my dad. Pop was a great father, and we had a lot of fun together. There were times he told me to do something, and I asked why, and then he gave me an answer or reason. There were other times, however, that I asked for an answer or reason, and he frustrated me by saying, "Because I said so," and that's all the answer you need. See, Pop wasn't being mean or insensitive, but he knew it was important for me both to respect and to know how to respond to authority. I meet people all the time who have difficulty responding to and respecting authority. Now, there's a balance here. I'm not talking about surrendering our wills to be manipulated by others for some sinful, self-centered purposes. But there is a principle of authority. This principle of authority is woven throughout the tapestry of life. In fact, there is no order without authority. Yes, sad to say, some of us have disorderly, dysfunctional spiritual lives because we've not learned to submit to God's authority. Listen to these words in Romans chapter 9, verse 20. "But who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Well, what is molded say to its molder, 'Why have you made me like this?'" This is a clear statement of God's authority. It may sound a tad bit in your face. Nevertheless, the writer, the Apostle Paul, says, "How shall we say back to God what he ought to do and not respond to his authority? He is the one that is molding and shaping our lives." Well, here's what I want you to remember today. When God gives us no reason or no answer, that's our cue to submit to him and to trust him. He really doesn't owe us an answer, but we do know we can trust him.
More information about the ministry of Crawford LaRitz can be found online at livingalegacy.org. Join Crawford tomorrow for another Legacy Moment.
Sometimes a long-held belief just isn't always true. Have you ever heard the myth that you need to drink 8 glasses of water every day? It comes from a 1945 recommendation from the American Nutrition Council saying people should drink the equivalent of about 8 glasses of fluid per day. Ignored in the original statement was that most of the fluid people need is found in food, especially fruits and vegetables. Even coffee and soda can contribute. Here's another one. Did you ever hear that shaving makes hair grow back faster? Actually, shaving removes the dead part of hair, not the living section below the skin's surface. Another myth. Now what about your faith? Is there something that you're holding on to that just may not be true? Jesus proclaimed that he is the truth, and he invites us to get to know him better, wrestle with the things that challenge us, and become people who stand on his firm foundation. I'm Charles Morris, haventoday.org.
Now every Monday morning when I get my pay, I'm feeling very rich indeed. I got a pocket full of money I can spend each day so I can pay for all the stuff I need. I got a great start, but here's the hard part. I got to plan for every expense. 'Cause every nickel counts when your entire allowance is only $7.50.
See, he has no excuses to put a budget together, and he only gets $7.50 for his budget. 1-877-LIVE-675, 1-877-548-3675. Stephen and Ed Economy, this are our guest Val. You're in Idaho. I thank you so for joining us. And your comment or question now, please.
My comment speaks to the fact that Steve mentioned that the giving portion of their income is, or their budget, is after several other things. My husband was off work from February to October this past year. He drew unemployment. We were able somehow to pay our tithes and pay what we owed every month. And he even got side work. And I just feel that maybe they're not allowing God to bless them in being able to provide in the way that he can do.
You know, Val, there are lots of different opinions on that one issue among Christian circles, and we've heard all of them, and we totally respect yours, and we are so happy that you were able to get through that tough time of unemployment and give like you did.
The verse that talks about, it's a totally different topic, but it's talking about let each one be fully convinced in their own mind. And we aren't pushing our conviction on anybody.
Right.
And that's just where God has brought us, and we have a peace about it. And, you know, he's allowed us to give more than 10%.
Yeah, we
and
give
we are
far more
really
than,
excited about that. But,
yeah, we give far more than
but
10%.
The key in my mind is you guys are sold out to the Lord, and you've seen him deliver, and that is commendable, and that's awesome. And your testimony now, after going through that tough time, is an awesome thing, and it honors him.
I think we probably have at least 10 missionaries that we support regularly.
Val, I thank you very much for being with us, and a lot of people responding to that part of our conversation. Robin, you're in Indiana. You want to pick up on this as well.
Well, I did, actually, Janet, and it's so nice to be on your program. Thank you for taking my call.
You're most welcome.
Thank you. I also had a question for Steve, and I really wanted some clarification, because as your previous caller had asked, did I correctly understand Steve to say that God has given him the responsibility first to provide for his family, and therefore, in his beliefs in that, is he saying that things come before their giving, their tithing to their church? Is that what he is saying? Because I have always been raised that needs to come first. And I just would like to make sure that I heard him correctly and maybe just have him elaborate a little bit more on that.
Okay, here's where it came from. You remember the verse where a Pharisee comes to Jesus, or Jesus is talking to the Pharisees about the word, and he uses the word Corban. And he says, you know, you say that what you have is given to God, so as a result of that, you can't help your parents out when they have a need. And he's saying in that verse, and I'm not a theologian, but this is what God spoke to me on. He said, you know, taking care of your parents is a higher priority than saying that you're giving money to God. And he was talking to the Pharisees, and they were the people he was calling hypocrites. But I took that verse to say, and I had a pastor also say that he took his giving money and would also give that to his parents if they ever had a need, because they were more important to him than the giving to church. And I know that may fly in the face of a lot of Christian philosophy, but that's where God has brought us. And you guys do what God calls you to do.
Steve, can I flesh this out a little bit? Because we have a lot of callers who want to respond to this. And it's so very, very clear that you and Annette have carefully and, more importantly, prayerfully considered how you do this. Here's what I'm thinking. How do we prevent sand traps and quagmires? Because it would be so easy to say a family need, a family need, a family need. My daughter needs transportation to a job, got to buy a car. My daughter needs an education, I have to go pay for the tuition. I mean, it's very easy to rationalize our way into what constitutes a need and work our way right out of a tithe.
Oh,
so how do we make
point.
Sure that we really make this to make – you're not abandoning giving by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
You were just talking about how you order the money when it comes in. So – teach us then how not to say, well, I've justified everything as a need, therefore I don't give anything because I'm taking care of my family.
Oh, it comes out of a heart of gratitude for what God's done to you.
And we know,
for you.
We know ultimately that God is the provider, and he provides through Steve and through our business to care for our family. But I still think priorities with your finances have been lost. 50 years ago, you know, if somebody couldn't pay their mortgage, they weren't going to buy candy. And you're right, Janet, there's no lines anymore. There's no clear priorities for what is a need and what is a want and what is a luxury. Mm-hmm. And having a roof over our heads, does it need to be in the nicest neighborhood in town? No.
But if we've made a commitment either to a bank or to a landlord to pay them, what's our responsibility? Is it fair to say to them, I'm sorry, I can't pay you my rent this month because I have to give to church? Or have, you know, what that's where we've got to wrestle. And I'm just going to challenge all the listeners out there, wrestle with it and wrestle with God, and he'll give you the answer. It may be different than ours, but that's where we've got to go with this.
I want to echo that, Steve, because I was thinking when the two of you were talking that the wonderful thing about having a relationship with Jesus Christ is that it is a relationship. We can go to him and we can say, Lord, I need clarification. I'm going to open your word through the inspiration and the teaching of the Holy Spirit. I need guidance and direction in this part of my life. So don't take Steve's advice or Annette's advice or Janet's advice. Go to the Lord. You know, he's the one who supplied your finances, and ask him what he would have you do with your finances. And then ask him to give you a peace, a perfect peace in this particular area of your life. I am so glad that Steve and Annette come and visit on a regular basis, because there's so many people online. So I'll tell you what, remember we didn't get you on this time, and you be the first callers the next time that Steve and Annette join us. But in the meantime, let me direct you to In the Market with JanetParshall.org so you can learn more about Steve and Annette Economy Days. They are America's cheapest family. They earned that title. On the right-hand side, there are two wonderful books filled with helps as you look well to the ways of your household, and you can click on through to their website as well. My thanks to Steve and Annette, and hope they keep warm in the big city of Chicago, and we'll see you next time right here on In the Market.
So I'll keep on hoping the fates will bring me lots of sweet money. Got to have money. Bring on the money. Lots of sweet money, money, money.
Teaching English as a second language. Sounds great, but it takes more than just reading a bunch of textbooks to be really effective. Elena Evans, a senior at Moody Bible Institute, explains how the Chicagoland ESL Ministry Conference helped her.
I really appreciated just having that connection with the real world. Like, here are the people who are really doing this. It's more than just my courses. It's more than just educational theories and textbooks. It's happening in the real world. And there's just such a great diversity of people that come and speak at the conference. And it was just very encouraging for me as a student to hear people who have life experience and to draw on their teaching techniques and
their life experience.
Whether you're a professional or volunteer, the Chicagoland ESL Ministry Conference will give you the tools to reach out to your community in a tangible way. It's at Moody Bible Institute on April 16th, and parking is free. Learn more at www.moody.edu/ESL. That's moody.edu/ESL.